And if you would turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. And before I get into this, I want to ask, we need to, I've had a few people ask me they want to be baptized before it gets too cold, since we do baptisms in the river around here. And if you are interested in that, if that's something that you want to fulfill, or something that's going on in your life, or you've never been baptized and God's been dealing with you about that, well then, I'm going to get you this time. Boy, we got the water's going to be good and cold, bud. And so, but right after church, if you can just get with me, those of you that want to, because we need to pick a Sunday that we're going to be all here or whatever, so we can get it all figured out, times and that kind of thing. So, anybody that's interested in that or whatever, let me know, okay? Did y'all find Matthew 7? I haven't. I've been accused of doing things backwards in my life. And so I am going to do something. I'm going to preach to you backwards this morning. You know, some of you know this about me, some of you don't. But, you know, all my life I've had to fight dyslexia. And so when I was in school, I never knew what was going on. And I'd do all these great math problems. You know, the teacher would write on the board, she'd write, you know, 12 plus 26, and I would do 21 plus 62, you know, and I'd turn in, my answer would be right, but it was the wrong answer. And I'd go through school, and nobody could understand. In those days, nobody knew what was going on or whatever, and so I just reversed everything, turned everything around. So it's just natural for me to do things backwards. Feels right to me. And so I was reading through Matthew chapter 7 here, and the Lord began to deal with me about the Beatitudes. You know, Jesus, he went up on the mount, let's just put it this way, there's a crowd of people, and he saw an opportunity. So he crawled up on the side of the hill, and he began to preach to the congregation, the people that were gathered there. And it starts in Matthew chapter 5 and chapter 6 and chapter 7. He goes through a message that he preaches that has probably been his most, it's as well known as Psalms 23, anybody say the Beatitudes or whatever, and all kinds of things in the world's been preached about it, some good, some bad, whatever. But as I began to read through it, you know, and you know, if you've read through them before and you've read those chapters before, you know what's coming. And as I began to think about what's coming is how Jesus kind of set them all up in a sense. He got all the people up and he began to tell them, now, this is what you need to do. You need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do that. And then at the end of it, he kind of, you know, said, now, this is what it is. But it was funny to me because I got to thinking, a lot of times if you tell people what's going to happen at the end, you know, then they won't listen to the beginning. But to me, as I read through the Beatitudes, if you look at the end, then it makes you want to go back and say, now, what did he say before this? Because I don't want to end up where it ended. Y'all with me? Because the ending, it's like Jesus basically told the people, yeah, okay, if you hear me, fine. If you don't, well, you know, you're not going to make it. So I want to do this. I want to just, y'all just let me just have some fun here this morning. We're going to look at it backwards. We're going to start the last thing Jesus said on the Beatitudes, and then the next few weeks we're going to work towards the front. So we'll start here in Matthew chapter 7, and I want to start in verse 24. Jesus is wrapping all this up, and he says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, I was reading a J.B. Phillips translation, and I like the way it said it here. It says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Did you hear that? Puts them into practice. There's a lot of people hear things and, you know, like for me, my wife is getting mad at me last night because I was watching, there was something on television and they came in one of them stupid Nutrisystem commercials. God bless them, but I don't like the attitude of them telling me that I need to go on their Nutrisystem. And it was Marie Osmond, and she said, you know, God bless Marie Osmond. She's, you know, whatever, great singer, whatever. But she said something. Sometimes people just need to make a choice. and do what's right. I said, shut up. So I'm hollering at the TV, why don't you shut up? Yeah, you don't have to go do anything. You don't have to work a job. You just sing. You get so many royalties off your albums. Why do you know about anything in life? Laura said, Robert, she calls at me from the door. Will you calm down? It's one thing to hear it. Do I know it means? Does it ring true? Yes. Do I need to? Yes. Do I want to? No. It's one thing to hear something. Something else to put it into practice. Come on, folks. We all know it's the truth. You can look at it all day long. You can think about exercising all day long. You can think about living the Word of God all day long. Right? You can think about, now listen, I'm gonna hold my tongue. I'm not gonna say that no matter what they say to me, I'm not gonna get ugly. I'm gonna hold my tongue. And then, but the inside of you screams, tell them. Am I right? But practicing it then would say, no, that's not what Jesus wants me to do. He want me to, you know, not act like that. And then you get hold of yourself and you put it into practice. Right? We can hear all the good things. Listen, you can pray all the good prayers, but if you never put it into practice, it doesn't mean anything. Did you hear what I said? You can go pray. You can pray. You can get down on your face and you can say, Jesus, I thank you. You're going to help me through this day. And Lord, I thank you. You're going to give me peace and patience. And I'm going to walk in your grace today. And then get up and just act like a lunatic. You're not even following in faith of what you prayed and were believing for. Right? I actually came up with a message, and I just kind of a little message for myself. Is short prayers that work. That was going to be the title of the message, short prayers that work. If you go through the Bible and look at the prayers that Jesus prayed, he prayed short prayers and they worked. And why? Because he believed what he prayed. And he says that there's Pharisees, and they go out and they pray long prayers and make a lot of words because they think they're going to be heard by all the long words that they say. But if you don't believe what you're praying, that God's going to be doing anything, you're just wasting your time. So I'd rather pray short prayers that work than long prayers that sound good. Amen? Amen. And there comes a time in life that when Jesus said, he says, you're going to have to put into practice what you heard. So when you come to church and you hear something, God speaks to you. Something's quickened to you. You're reading your Bible and it jumps out to you. It did it for a reason because the Lord's wanting you to put that into practice in your life. You don't always get the reading through and say, oh, that's good. That's what so-and-so needs to hear. Be careful. That's exactly what I need to tell my husband. You better be careful. God is probably speaking that to you so that you can put it into practice in your life. Amen? So he said, he says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Everybody say the rock. Man, you know, rocks don't move. You build your house upon a foundation that doesn't move. It's not going anywhere, no matter what happens, no matter what comes. When you're building a foundation of a house, you cannot cut corners. That's not where you want to cut corners. Because your whole house sits on that. Everything is there. It can't move. If something goes wrong or there's a soft spot or there's a whatever, it all has to fit into place. When you're laying there, putting in the pad and the foundation, you're rolling the cleats in. If you get a place that's got too much clay in it and it starts to rib it up and pull up, the first thing you got to do is get that out of there because that's not going to be a good foundation. You dig that spot out, that spot that's soft. Look at the person beside you and say, soft. Soft can be good when you're talking about the loving touch of a gentle master. But when you're talking about putting in a foundation, soft is not good. And Jesus says, look, you've got to put into practice these sayings of mine, and it will. When you put them into practice, listen, that builds the rock foundation underneath you. That's what builds the foundation. That's what puts it on the rock. Now he says, the rains descended, the floods came, and the wind blew, and it beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. This translation says, Down came the rain and up came the floods. I like that. Down came the rain and up came the floods. What does that sound like? Itsy Bitsy Spider. While the winds blew and roared upon the house, and it did not fall because its foundation was on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not follow them can be compared with a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Down came the rain and up came the floods. And while the wind blew, it battered the house, it collapsed and fell into a great crash. The rain, the winds, and the flood all came to both houses. Folks, listen to me. You're never going to get into a pie-in-the-sky life where you don't have any problems and there's no issues. It does not happen. It is impossible. There's going to be mountains to climb. There's going to be valleys to cross. There's going to be stumbling blocks that you have to step over in life. No matter where you are, no matter what you do. If you wanted to be a hermit and crawl into build you a cabin in the hills and nobody was around you, the bugs would bother you. There's still going to be something. The only way to insulate yourself in life from the wind and the rain and the floods is to know that your foundation is firm and it will not be blown away. And the only way you can have a firm foundation is to put in practice what Jesus said. To put into practice what Jesus said. I just know. After 20 years of ministry, I know that I'm preaching to you, you're hearing it. But unless it speaks to your heart and you go do something with it, you write it down, you talk about it and you're amongst your family, you talk about it, you pray about it, you work at it, you're going to forget whatever I said this Sunday and just be living for next Sunday to come back. It's like living by paycheck to paycheck. You're living from Sunday to Sunday to just get a word because you're not putting into practice what was said once and going on and adding it and building and building and building and building. You're just living from sermon to sermon like you'd live from paycheck to paycheck. You gotta get it. Listen, this is not... Wow. You can't just come to church, worship God, and go home and have no conversation with Him, no anything else that goes on in your life until the next Sunday and you come to church and worship Him again. You know, that's not putting into practice the things Jesus said. Then again, because I want to show you this in just a minute, it's not necessarily going and having a full-fledged Bible study at your house with your whole family sitting there all the time, because if your family's not listening to you and it's not in their heart and they're not putting into practice what you're doing, you're just carrying on more words. You're just putting more fluff out there. It's the simple things in life that we miss. It's just sitting there around your table drinking coffee with your family and sitting there just having a discussion and saying, you know, how can we put into practice better what we're learning? Not sitting there praying, oh, Holy Father, thou who sittest in the heavens and the clouds, whose majesty and expenses vastness. What good does that do if you can't put into practice the simple thing that you're not going to act ugly when you want to? You follow what I'm saying? When the simple principles that you need encouragement and help on, that you need to tell your friend, your helpmate, your confidant, your person. You know, here, man, I'm having some problems in marriage over here. You know, I really want to murder that person. It's down inside of me. I think it. I feel it. I can see it. And I need help. And he said, okay, well, what does the scripture say? Let's find out what the Bible says about this. And so Jesus says, love your enemies. You need to pray for them. Oh, I don't want to pray for them. Well, we need to pray for them. Let's just pray for them. Okay, God, don't kill them. Hey, man, you're working. You're moving forward. You got forward motion. You got forward progress going here. If you prayed that every day, you're doing better. You see, we miss it on the simple things in life. We try to make it too big, too vast, too great. And you don't do it. It's the little things that we put into practice on a consistent basis that we start practicing in life that puts that foundation underneath us. It's the times in life that we have to sit down and admit to the Lord that we're wrong. Admit that we need some help. Admit that, say, Lord, I'm having some bad thoughts here. I'm having some issues here. I need some help, Lord. And it's real. Let me show you this. Go to verse 21. Remember, we're working on this backwards. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Uh-oh. Let me read this translation. It is not everyone who keeps saying to me, Lord, Lord, who will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the man who actually does my heavenly Father's will. What does that mean? It means what Jesus is talking about here, what he just said before. He's talking about putting into practice the things of God. That the person can be, listen, there's going to be people, I believe with all of my heart, that have gone to church for most of their life and are not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. I may shock you, but I believe there's going to be people left standing there at the rapture of the church and they're going to be saying, what happened? Because it was all just religion. It was all pretense. It was all, nothing was real. It wasn't real. It was a social club. It was just a social network of friends. It didn't have anything to do with Jesus. It didn't have anything to do with this, knowing what God wants us to do. Folks, listen to me. We got to come to the reality and the understanding that we're all made out of dirt. And because we're made out of dirt, there's things within us that don't want to act right. And unless you're willing to take your dirt and pile it up at the foot of the Lord and submit it to him and say, Lord, I want you to mold me and make me into something great. And I'm willing to do what you want me to do. I'm willing to change. I'm willing to make steps in my life to change whether I want to or not. That's doing the will of the Lord. And he said, there's going to be people that said, Lord, Lord, but they didn't even really know Jesus because they were doing it out of their head, not out of their heart. And if you read through there, it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we not prophesy in your name? We cast out demons in your name and do many wonders in your name. Sounds pretty impressive. And then he said, I'll declare them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. It was all pretense. We should not be shocked at Christians who are not really Christians. Jesus told us there's going to be people like that. I'm so tired, like, on our trip to Washington, I told Laura, I said, man, don't tell anybody I'm a preacher, okay? Just see if I can hide under the radar. I don't want anyone to know. I didn't no more get on the shuttle taking us over to the airport than the lady said, well, you don't look like no preacher. I got on there and said, what did you say? And she said, well, one thing I didn't. So then I had to listen all the way over there, all the way over the bus about how bad churches were, how bad preachers were. You didn't trust them. Never go to church. I'll never go to church again in my life. Christian people, I'm terrible people out there. I ain't never going. And so the only word I could get in was, you know, I'm really sorry that happened to you, but you do need to find a church. You need to find people that are believers, that are good people, and you need to have fellowship with them. Well, I ain't never going to church. I'm like, oh, Christians are the worst. The heathens don't give me any problems. Amen. They all like me. Amen. It's the Christians that just make my job impossible. And something's wrong with that. Something's wrong with that. That the world out there doesn't want to have anything to do with Christians because how ugly Christians have acted. And I'm like, well, it's an impossible uphill battle. But they're out there. Jesus said they're out there. And Jesus said, those people are saying to me, Lord, Lord, but they ain't going to make it. Verse 15. See, beware of false prophets who come to me and who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Do you know? I just found this. I'll say it because I believe what I heard was true, and I'll have to verify it for you. But because I'm scared to go check it on the internet, that the Communist Party of America, their symbol is a wolf in sheep's clothing, and I'm like, well, how stupid could you be if you made that your symbol? Does not everybody in the world know that a wolf with a sheep tail, that's not something you'd want to be a part of? Maybe nobody else thinks like that, but I'm scared to go on the internet and check it because I don't want to have logged in there. I went to the communist website, next thing I know, they'd be out there looking at me, you know? So I don't know how all that works. I'm scared to mess with it, but to verify that, you know? But that is a wolf in sheep's clothing is their logo. And he says, look, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. So that means that that person looks gentle on the outside, but there's something wrong on the inside. You with me? They look right on the outside, but inside's not right. So then that means you can't judge a person by the way that they look on the outside. Just because they may be dressed nice and look nice and are groomed and pleasant doesn't mean that they may not be a devil. Amen. Hello. And just because they may be dirty and homeless and look terrible over here doesn't mean that they may not be a great blessing. Someone that could help you in life and be a great friend. You're with me? He says, you got to know what's on the inside of the person, not what's on the outside of the person. He says, you will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, and every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Listen to me. If you want to know a person, just look at their lives. Look what kind of fruit they're producing. If they're not producing good fruit, better watch out. You better watch out. I don't care what it looks like on the outside. I don't care what words are coming out of their mouth, what they're saying. You better watch. Listen to me, church. It's a serious thing. Watch who you're getting entangled with. Watch who you're around. Watch who you're hanging with. Watch who's your friend. Watch who's influencing your life. What kind of fruit are they producing? What's coming from them? You don't have to judge them. You don't have to say, well, you know, I don't know. No, just look for fruit. Just look for fruit. You know, again, back to our little trip we had. We're going down the road, and there's all these fruit stands with, you know, apples and stuff like that. And I don't like apples. I don't know. I never have liked an apple. And I like apple pie, but that's only because it's got enough sugar on it and crust. You know, anybody could eat that. But just to eat an apple, I don't know, just doesn't do anything for me. And so, you know, here we're in the middle of Washington State. We're supposed to have, here's all these great apples out there, you know, about the size of a football. And so finally my wife says, stop at that stand. And so I said, all right, rah, pull in there. And I said, I'd eat a peach if they had a peach. I like peaches. And sure enough, they had a big old peach, you know. And I got out and I, you know, pulled out my pocket knife and started cutting up this peach and eating it. And man, it was great. So we just stopped right there on the side of the road by the fruit stand, just kept buying more fruit and eating fruit. And looking at the trees, you know, and you know, she's oohing and aahing over the apple, and I'm slobbering over the peach, and you know, and you look at it, it was like, finally she talked me into eating a piece of apples. You gotta taste this apple. And I said, man, I know what apples taste like. I don't really want to taste them. You gotta eat some apple. So finally, I ate some of the apple, you know? It's like Eve and Adam and Eve or thing. What was I thinking? And so I tasted it, you know, and it was the best apple I'd ever put in my mouth, you know. It was great because it produced off of a, you know, just different. And, you know, although I was looking at the fruit and it looked good on the outside, I just didn't want to taste it. But then once I tasted it, it really was good. And that's what we have to look at in life. We've got to look at fruit. What's being produced? Because if that thing would have been sour, that thing would have just been like eating styrofoam or something, you know? I mean, you know, that would have just solidified in me, apples are of no good, no use. Right? You got to look into a person's life. And no matter what their tree is, no matter what their fruit is hanging off there, if that fruit is not producing good fruit, then folks, you shouldn't be messing with it. Now, there are bad fruit trees that you need to preach to. Right? There are bad fruit trees. You said, you know, you need to cut your trunk off and get grafted in another one. Because the fruit you're producing, it ain't no good. That's what's wrong so many times with marriages. You keep trying to produce good fruit from bad stock. It's got to be cut off. Got to have Jesus in there. Got to have the root of Jesus in your life, or it ain't never going to produce anything good. No matter how much you fertilize it, you got to have Jesus to make that tree grow good fruit. And you preach to bad fruit trees. You tell bad fruit trees where they can go get some good stock and get some good grass in there and get going with some good fruit. But you don't eat from the bad fruit tree. Jesus went into, if you'll let me say it this way, Jesus went into the bars and sat around and ate and drank with sinners, but he didn't eat their fruit. Amen. He was there to influence them to get a new fruit tree. So bad fruit trees, they do have a purpose in life. For you to preach to them and tell them they need to get good fruit, but not eat from their fruit trees. Amen. Don't eat their fruit. Because if you do, it's going to come in and corrupt your fruit. Amen. Right? So, now it takes us to verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it. I was standing in a hotel room in Guatemala City, getting ready to fly back home on a trip one time, and I was standing right at a window, and it was one of those windows that were, you know, like flush with the floor, and, you know, it was just straight down. And it just kind of felt kind of cool. I was just standing right up at the window, you know, like I could have just, you know, I don't know. I was on like the 30th floor or something, you know. And so I'm just standing up there looking down all the little cars and stuff like that. Because heights don't bother me. Movement bothers me in life. Man, I wouldn't get on a roller coaster for nothing. But heights, just looking down, that doesn't bother me. And I'm standing right at that window. And I look out and there's a little ledge, maybe 4 inches. Right outside the window, you know, like a 4-inch window. I mean, 4-inch little ledge there. And I was praying, and I was sitting there praying, and this scripture popped into my mind while I was praying. And I got to thinking about, and I said, you know, about the narrow gate. And Lord, just help me to always find the narrow gates in life and go through them. I know that they're difficult and all. And then it was just like the Lord just took me on a little visual lesson. He told me, you know, look down at that ledge. And I said, man, that is little, Lord. If you were on the outside trying to hang on to that little thing and you're 30 stories up and trying to hang on, that'd be bad. And he said, yeah, but if you were a rock climber and your purpose was in life to climb mountains, that would seem like a great plateau for you to stand on. And I was like, yeah, I guess you're right, Lord. It's the perspective you're looking at it. We're looking for the easy, wide path that we can stand on. But if you're already determined that you're a mountain climber for Jesus, you're going on with him and you're going to take the narrow road, which is, we already know, is a difficult path. Then when you find those little edges in life like that, it's really easy to stand. Have y'all seen that before? Like when they're mountain climbing and they're climbing up and they can't make it in a, you know, wherever they're climbing in a day. So they have a tent. And they fasten themselves down and sleep on the side of the mountain? Like, yeah, that's just what I want to do. I mean, I'm a toss and turn kind of guy in the bed at night, you know? I sleep like a washing machine, you know? How are you going to do that? Strapped on the side of a hill. How could you just go to sleep and not think there was a rabid squirrel up there eating through your rope at night? A rock squirrel. Why wasn't rock squirrels living on the side of the mountain, right? Who has just been waiting to build a nest somewhere. And rope was just what he wanted. And you just supplied it for him as he's building the nest. He said that. You know, I'm off subject now, but I opened up my toolbox a couple of days ago and reached in to get my bag out, and just like overnight, a thing had to have been rabid mouse got in my toolbox, ate all the fingers off of one side of my leather gloves, and had a nest made in my carpenter's pouch. I'm talking like in 2 days. I'd picked that bag out 2 days before, and I thought to myself, sorry, little outfit. How long did it take you? I mean, you must have just, your jaws, wherever you are, must be sore from eating. You ate my whole fingers off my gloves. And then I found the hole. I said, how do you even get in my toolbox? And there's a drain hole about this big, right in the very center. It's away from everything. I said, what did he do? I just jumped and get his little paw up there and then climb through that hole. How did he do that? Ate my glove up. So why couldn't there be a rabid rock squirrel that ate through your line? You're sleeping up there thinking everything's okay. But if you find a ledge like that as a rock climber, that's what you do and that's what your profession is, you take a break there. Folks, we got to realize in life that this life that Jesus called us to, it's not always going to be easy. There are opportunities for heartache. There's opportunities for offense. There's opportunities for stumbling. There's opportunities for crashing and burning. There's opportunities for all kinds of things. But the road that Jesus called us to walk, he said, look, you got bad trees. You got wolves in sheep's clothing. You got a difficult path to go. But keep building your house upon the rock. I mean, that's really an encouraging message, isn't it? Everybody just wants to say, rah, rah. He never said it was going to be easy. The only thing he did say was be of good cheer because I've overcome this world. He said, I'll help you through every step. I'll help you through every little path that you got to go. I'll help you through every little obstacle in life. I'll be there with you to comfort you through it. There's no way that God could give us free will and then align this world to be perfect. Otherwise, you'd have no choice. Couldn't do it. So there's a narrow path. It's a narrow gate and a narrow path. And it's difficult. Nobody said it'd be easy. Jesus didn't promise anything. He never said it was going to be easy. He just said, I'll be with you through it all. Y'all with me? But if you got to go back to where we started a while ago, it all has to do with putting into practice what he wanted us to do so that we were built upon the rock. If we put into practice, see, that's why I'm going to start at the end of this message. If you put into practice what he said and you're building your life on the rock, then these other things that are coming at you, it's not going to blow you off course. When the devil shows up and knocks on your door, you're going to say, yeah, what do you want? I'm built on the rock. I won't make any difference. How are we going to fight this out? There's a great confidence that you have when your life is built on the rock and you understand that you've put into practice to the best of your abilities the things that God has. There's a great confidence that comes on the inside of you to know that whatever obstacle that comes your way, you're going to go through it and you're going to be okay. When I first got saved and I read through the Bible, I got it wrong. I'll have to admit it, I got it wrong. I read through the Bible, and from my first gleaning of the scriptures, I pretty much figured that I could stand here like Bruce Almighty and command everything to line up the way I wanted it to. That was my first gleaning from it. I'd been in a church that, you know, I never saw anything happen. I never saw God move, never even expected God to move. And then I started learning about faith. I started learning about the things of God. Then I began to just think that, you know, I'd be just like Bruce Almighty. Whatever I said would just come to pass. Instantly. I thought God was a genie that I would rub on the lamp. And he would appear. And I'd say, hey, Lord, I need you to do this for me. He'd say, yeah, sure, Robert, I'll get right on it. I'm sorry. That's what I thought. No more troubles, no more trials, no more problems. Straight through to heaven. Then after a while, you know, kind of got some flat tires on my bus and had to kind of start figuring out what was going on around and start kind of figuring out, wait a minute, this is not the way it's supposed to be. Oh, God, you don't work for me. I work for you. Oh, God, I missed that point. I'm sorry. You're not here to do my bidding. I'm here to do your bidding. Oh, missed that one. I just thought I had great ideas and you ought to get in on board with me. Have you ever been there? I mean, you know, I just thought, hey, God, this is a great idea. Come on, what's the matter? This is what you want to do, right? Yeah, look, lines up. Come on. And I know he just, thank goodness he didn't just, like, from the pulpit, just send, I mean, from the altar, just send down a fiery lightning bolt and fry me right in my... of all the craziness that I thought and did. But it's been a great adventure in life. And now 20-something years later, I can stop and say, well, you know, I didn't have it quite all figured out, right? And now, God, you've readjusted me. Now I see what you're saying and understand what's going on. And I'm making adjustments in my life and I'm going on. But I'm still staying on with you, Lord. You're my rock. You're my foundation. I wish it was a wide open path. I wish it was a great big gate. I wish it was a way that you couldn't mess up. I wish it was just like all of us just lollygagging along through life, just getting it all done. But it's not. There's battles and struggles, stumbling blocks, offensive, disgusting things, bad things, ugly things, things that happen. I can't tell you why. I'm not even going to attempt to go there. All I can do is tell you he's going to be with you through it all. And you got to get him as your foundation in life. You got to realize it's a narrow path. You got to realize that the devil wants you off of it. He wants you to turn around. He wants you to get on the wide road. He wants you to mess up. He wants you to get mad. He wants you to throw a fit. He wants you to get mad at God. He wants you to sit down on the side of the road and suck your thumb. Am I preaching good today? Amen. May not be the easiest thing to digest, but I'm not tickling your ears this morning. I'm just giving you something to live by. Amen. You're going to have some bad fruit. Somebody is going to serve you up a peach that looks so good, but it tastes terrible. You know, I like plums. But you can get a plum that you can bite into that makes you go, just shudder. Worse than a, what are those things we used to eat when we were kids? Those sweet tarts. That's what I'm thinking about. Those little round things that are so sour, you know, whatever. But you know, if you peel that plum, get off that, you know, its skin on the outside, it usually tastes good on the inside. Sometimes people are serving up stuff that don't taste too good on the outside, but inside it's still good stuff. You with me? I wish you could never have to run in and have bad fruit. But you're going to run across some bad fruit trees. You're going to run across some people in life that look like gentle lambs, but have really big canine teeth when they smile. Pastors always joke around about, sheep bite. It's a disease that takes pastors out. Sheep bite. Because sheep sometimes have really big teeth. Good news is, he's with you. Good news is, you're putting into practice his word. You're building your life on the foundation, a rock. The winds are going to blow. Rains are going to come. Floods are going to rise. And you're just going to sit there and say, Lord, I thank you we're standing. Amen. Amen.